Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit, but first let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
unfortunately, our First Lady could not be with us tonight, So I am going to come with a word this evening, and I'm just searching for a song. The Forgotten Beatitudes, the Anointing. Praise be to God. I will be with you in a minute. Here we go. I found it. Praise be to God. So after this selection, please get your Bibles ready. And after this selection, I will come back with a word. Amen. Praise God.
I want you to open up your heart and let God. Come on, say it.
Lamenting, lamenting.
God, everybody. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Acts. And that's Acts chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 17 through 38. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through 38. And I am reading from the New Living Translation. Amen? Praise God. And it says, but when he landed at Miletus, he sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come and meet him. When they arrived, he declared, you know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia Minor until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God, and of having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing, the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Praise God. And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. For I did not shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad most of all, because he had said that they would never see him again. Then they escorted him down to the ship. May the Lord richly bless the word of his reading, the reading of his word. Amen. Praise be to God. So Paul's relationship with these believers is a beautiful example of Christian fellowship. He had cared for them and loved them, even cried over their needs. They responded with love and care for him and sorrow over his leaving. They had prayed together and comforted one another. Like Paul, you can build strong relationships with other Christians by sharing, caring, sorrowing, rejoicing, and praying with them. You will gather others around you only by giving yourself away to them. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Loving Father, thank you for the gifts of light and love and life. Thank you for hope and health and all of the help that you have given to us. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house with your people tonight. As we bring our tithes and offerings, We pray that you will accept them and bless them to the end, that your name will be honored and glorified. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. An experienced pastor tells of hearing both the pastor of his college church and the pastor of his seminary church preach a series of sermons on the Beatitudes of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. On the seminar, Beatitudes of Jesus. Neither included this beatitude that Paul preserved for us. Later, in a passionate and a pastorate of his own, this pastor also preached a series on the Beatitudes, and he did not include this Beatitude either. Why not? His testimony was, I forgot it. Then he added, I suppose the two pastors I heard and the author of the six books I read in preparation for my series forgot it also. Ask almost any Christian, even the most careful Bible student, to name the Beatitudes of Jesus, and he or she will name those listed in Matthew chapter 5. Not one out of 100 would name the one given in Acts 20. Thus, it is fair to call Acts 20 and 35 the forgotten beatitude. There is no question as to the authenticity of this beatitude, that this is a genuine saying of Jesus. There can be no doubt. Beyond doubt, this was a current saying of Jesus with which the Ephesians elders were familiar. Moreover, the writer, Luke, who heard Paul's address to these pastors and preserved it, also wrote the gospel that bears his name. And his gospel preserves, in slightly varied form, Jesus' Beatitudes, Luke chapter 6, 20 to 23. So turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, Luke, went too far. Lamentation, Hosea, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 20 to 23. That's Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. And these are the Beatitudes of Jesus. Luke wrote. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. 23. And that was Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. There can be no doubt that Jesus demonstrated this beatitude in his life and ministry and death. Just as surely as he demonstrated meekness, mercy, and purity of heart, so did Jesus demonstrate that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Praise God. There can be no fault found with the form in which this beatitude is given. Paul prefaces his statement of the beatitude with a twofold caution. Laboring, he said, ye ought to help the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. His caution to remember is certainly in place for us, for this is the forgotten beatitude. Let's look at three questions concerning this beatitude. Amen. My text for this message is coming from Acts 20:35 in the ASV Bible. And it says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. To God be the glory. And my title for this message is The Forgotten Beatitude. Amen. And the three questions are as follows. Number one, why is this beatitude the forgotten beatitude? We have never understood it. Taken together, the full impact of these words has never hit us as Jesus intended they should. We tread lightly on the first half of this saying and let our minds dwell on the latter half. But Jesus' emphasis is the other way around. Excuse me. But Jesus' emphasis is the other way around. It is more blessed to give than to receive. This turns the normal attitude of the carnal mind upside down. There is a blessedness in receiving, and our Lord does not discount the fact. None of us could live for 10 minutes apart from what we receive. It is blessed to receive, but it is more blessed to give. We have never believed it. If we doubt that this is the most disbelieved truth in the Word of God, we need but to look first at the average church treasury, and after that, into the faces of the average congregation. When the offering is being received or when the pastor mentions money, many people upon giving to the church as a necessary nuisance, a bother, a thing to be dreaded. It isn't so at all. If our hearts are right, the sense of our text then is this. It is a far happier experience to give than to receive. And it surely is if our hearts are right with God. We have never actually tested it. Oh, a few have. And their testimony tells us that it is the very word of God. They say it is more blessed to give than to receive. Those who love the most give the most. But the majority of Christians cannot testify one way or another. They haven't tried it out. Amen? Number two, what results from this beatitudes being the forgotten beatitude? We have missed the main emphasis of Jesus' teaching. This beatitude stands supreme among all the beatitudes of the Bible. It is the center of the Bible's teaching, the supreme emphasis of Jesus. To give was the purpose of his coming. Excuse me. 1 second. Amen. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. Selfishness is self-destructive. Giving is redemptive, creative, permanent. We lose what we keep and keep forever what we give to God. Amen. Praise be to God. We have missed the greatest joy, the supreme blessing of Christian living. What is Christian living? Well, it is doing our best to give more than we receive for Christ's sake, because we love him and because we love a lost world. What is the Christian philosophy of life. It is believing in and trying to live by this word of the one who redeemed us. It is more blessed to give than to receive. No amount of earthly things can ever satisfy the spiritual part of us that God made to be blessed by giving. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." 5 and 10. We have failed to take the gospel to the whole world. Why has the gospel made such slow conquest of the world? Why have missions and evangelism lagged and dragged? It is because preachers have been so about preaching the joyous truth of the Bible about giving, and because people have been so rebellious and unbelieving when they have presented it. There is no danger of exaggerating the measures in which this beatitude has been discredited in the world and even by Christ's own people. Selfishness is the dominant note of humanity, the cancer of society, the mud on the chariot wheels of God's army, and selfishness finds its supreme expression in man's attitude toward money. The world believes it is more blessed to get than to give, and therefore, for 2 millennia, we have not carried the gospel to all the world. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And number 3, what blessings would follow a wholesale recovery of this beatitude? Blessings on us as individuals. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That is true for each one of us as individuals. We love our Lord because there was no trace of selfishness in him. He gave and gave and gave, and it was his joy to give. The writers of Hebrews said of him in Hebrews 12 and 2 in the NIV, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." Jesus demonstrated the truth of this beatitude as he did all the others. We are to be like him. When pastors persuade their congregation to give, not grudgingly or of necessity, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, but joyfully and liberally, they are doing a real service to their souls. Blessings on our churches. Recovering this beatitude would mean that our churches would have the means, the resources, but above all, the spiritual power to attempt to carry out the Great Commission. A young seminary graduate was in his first pastorate in a royal setting. Both the church and his salary were small. With 3 young children, he was having a hard time making ends meet. One kind farmer in his church brought him a fine milk cow to feed her. Pastor, milk this cow. She'll give all the milk your children need. Some weeks later, when the farmer asked about the cow, the young pastor replied, "She went dry. I don't know why. We were very careful. We milked only the milk we had to have. That is bad for a cow. It is bad for a church because of their failure to give liberally. Most of our churches have gone dry spiritually. Blessings on an unsaved soul. It is more blessed to give than to receive. If they would only heed these words, churches would challenge an unsaved world by an exalted testimony and witness. The churches would begin to do the things they were brought into existence to do. They would start knocking on the doors of the world with the gospel. The world would heed and some would be saved." Hallelujah. Glory to God. The elders knew that Paul was no designing, self-seeking man. Those who would in any office serve the Lord acceptably and be profitably to the others must do it with humility. Paul was a plain preacher, one that spoke his message so as to be understood. He was a powerful preacher. He preached the gospel as a testimony to them if they receive it, but as a testimony against them if they rejected it. He was a profitable preacher, one that aimed to inform their judgment and reform their hearts and lives. He was a painful preacher, very industrious in his work. He was a faithful preacher. He did not keep back reproof when necessary, nor keep back the preaching of the gospel. He was a truly Christian, evangelical preacher. He did not preach notions or doubtful matters, nor affairs of state or the civil government, but he preached faith and repentance. A better summary of these things, without which there is no salvation, cannot be given. Even repentance towards God, the faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ with their fruits and effects, without these no sinner can escape. And with these none will come short of eternal life. Let them not think that Paul left Asia for fear of persecution. He was in full expectation of trouble. He yet resolved to go on, well assured that it was by divine direction. Thanks be to God that we know not the things which shall befall us during the year, the week, the day which has begun. It is enough for the child of God to know that his strength shall be equal to his day. He knows not, he would not know, what the day before him shall bring forth, the power. powerful influence of the Holy Spirit bind the true Christian to his duty, even when he expects persecution and affliction. The love of Christ constrained him to proceed. None of these things moved Paul from his work. They did not deprive him of his comfort. It is the business of our life to provide for a joyful death, believing that this was the last time they should see him. He appeared concerning his integrity. He had preached to them the whole counsel of God. As he had preached to them the gospel purely, so he had preached it to them entire. He faithfully did his work, whether men would bear or forbear. Praise be to God. If the Holy Ghost has made ministers overseers of the flock that is shepherds, they must be true to their trust. Let them consider their master concerned for the flock committed to their charge. It is the church he has purchased with his own blood. The blood was his as man. Yet so close is the union between the divine and human nature that it is their call, the blood of God. For it was the blood of him who is God. This puts such dignity and worth into it that it would ransom to believers from all evil and purchase all good. Paul spoke about their souls with affection and concern. They were full of care about what would become of them. Paul directs them to look up to God with faith and commends them to the word of God's grace, not only as the fountain, the foundation of their hope and the fountain of their joy, but as the rule of their walking. The most advanced Christians are capable of growing and will find that the word of grace helps their growth. As those cannot be welcome guests to the Holy God who are unsanctified, so heaven would be no heaven to them. But to all who are born again and on whom the image of God is renewed, it is sure as almighty power and eternal truth make it so. He recommends himself to them as an example of not caring as to things of the present world. This would assist their comfortable passage through it. It might seem a hard saying. Therefore, Paul adds to it a saying of their masters, which he would have then have them always remember. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It seems they were words often used to his discipline. The opinion of the children of this world is contrary to this. They are afraid of giving unless in hope of getting. Clear gain is with them the most blessed thing that can be. But Christ tells us what is more blessed, more excellent. It makes us more like to God, who gives to all and receives from none, and to the Lord Jesus, who went about doing good. This mind was in Christ Jesus. May it be in us also. It is good for friends when they part to part with prayer. Those who exhort and pray for one another may have many weeping seasons and painful separation, but they will meet before the throne of God to part no more. It was a comfort to all that the presence of Christ both went with him and stayed with him. Praise be to God. And as I bring this message to a close, the Beatitudes describe the character traits of a happy Christian. And this one, so often forgotten, is the most joyous of them all. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of faith after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer, believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the body of Christ. And all you have to do is to find a good Bible-based church to further your Christian walk. Amen. Praise be to God. My benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, and it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. God bless you, and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own associate pastor, Kathy Dubose, will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. We appreciate you, all of our listeners on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and Block Talk Radio. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Are you kidding me?